just hate to keep him too long. And he said he didn't care if I kept you 2 hours. So I may do that tonight. But anyway, good to have you. We'll try to be short, but chapter 2 again of Jonah. We're going to continue the message from this morning, or a little bit of it, as the Lord leads. And there's always plenty to say about the Word of God. And I love it. We're going to read just a couple of verses, maybe. I don't know. I believe I may do like Dale did. I'm going to read the whole thing. Chapter 2 again. This morning, I preached on this, and we're going to just go through it quickly. I won't even touch on it. But listen to what it says. Chapter 2, verse 1 of Jonah. Are you there yet? Say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth covered me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground." Father, we thank you so much for what you mean to us. And we pray, Father, you would help us to grow tonight. Help us to be straight in your word tonight, that God, your word would be powerful to us. Guide us and direct us in the path that we should go. Help us to learn from Jonah as we did this morning. And we'll give you praise and we'll give you honor. And by everybody said amen. 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 Say it with me again, as we did this morning. I'm like Jonah. I'm like Jonah. And we are, all of us, have a Jonah, a part of Jonah in us. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Everybody has a weakness. You have a temptation. You have an idol in your life. It can come alive. Hopefully you keep it dormant. But it will be with you until the day you die. Jonah had the same thing in his life. We talked this morning about Jonah's cry to the Lord. And how that the prayer that is recorded here is not the prayer he prayed. It's written in a psalm. It's written with words in Hebrew that rhyme. And it's written in the past. It's in the third person. And that's done a lot in the Bible. But here we find that Jonah not only cried to the Lord, and the Lord, he said, answered him, but Jonah renewed his faith in the Lord. And you and I, as children of God, we have to do the same thing in our life. If we don't renew our faith, if we don't let it become new every morning, we'll get dreary, we'll get dull in the Christian life that we live. It won't mean what it used to mean to us. And that's what's happening in the day that we live. And verses 4 through 9 speaks of that. But we also spoke of Jonah's deliverance by the Lord. His deliverance came in that he vomited, the fish did, Jonah out on the land. And my goodness, we think about that, and we think about what he went through in those things. We need to understand that as God's child, you and I have the grace of God upon us. And the story of Jonah is all about grace. We don't know where he was vomited. We think he was vomited in Joppa, and a beautiful place, a beautiful area. But we understand that when we go away from God, no matter how hard that we work, it will get us nowhere. That we need to be in the will of God. We must be in the will of God. And you just can't do it yourself. You can't go your own way. You can always say, I'm a Christian, but God knows your heart. He knows, and you know your heart. You know where you stand with God. The Bible says here that Jonah understood that. Now, we need to look at some details that we didn't talk about too much of the storm that Jonah went through. He tried and he tried to run away from God. But the harder he ran, the harder that God pursued him. Now that's called grace. That's called God loving us. That's called God giving us what we don't deserve. We can run, but you can never outrun God. Oh, my goodness. He'll outrun you every time. And that's what Jonah found out. The faster he ran, the faster that God ran. The very intensity of his trying to get away from God produced an intensity of God that drove God to him. And that's grace. That is what God has done for you and I. And boy, I like it. I thank God for the word grace in our lives. Amen? Now, the Bible says here that Jonah was thrown into the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. We don't need to miss the point. When you run from God, you're going to suffer. When you run from the will of God, you're going to suffer. But don't miss the point here. God forgave Jonah. Can you say amen? God forgave Jonah. When he turned, repented, God in his grace forgave Jonah of what he had done. And he finally, he relented. He repented. And he called upon God. Now, the picture of the fish was a picture of God's grace. Say, Brother Rudy, wait a minute. You need to understand. You're not reading that right. The fish was his curse. No, the fish was his storm. The fish is what took him under. But the fish also brought him up. See, what I'm saying is this. You need to understand that your storm, that the thing that God has put you in, the thing that you dread the most, God has put you there. He's allowing you to be moved. The storm is God's grace in your life. It is God allowing you to grow, God pushing you to grow, God showing you himself. The fish was his greatest blessing. Where would have Jonah been without the fish? He'd been dead. He couldn't have fulfilled God's will in his life. He couldn't have went where God wanted him to go. He couldn't have fulfilled the command of God on his life. It was the storm, the fish, the curse that he thought at a time that brought him salvation. We need to understand that when God sends something in our lives, that God does it for a reason. Your despair, your pit, your trouble, your trial, your temptation. That is like Jonah's fish. It's grace. It's God saying it's going to drive you to me. It's going to drive you to be what I want you to be. And that's what it did for Jonah. There are some of us in this room tonight. You give me some of your testimonies. There's some of you here tonight that you've told me that you had to reach rock bottom. And when you reached rock bottom, God got a hold of you and lifted you up. I've talked to several in ministry, several in life, that they had to reach rock bottom. And when they reached the bottom, and Jonah did, he said that he went to the mountains that was in the ocean. My goodness, the fish took him down. And by the way, he was there. You can listen to that this morning. He went there and he was in the fish and he was struggling to live. But he lived. There are times in our life that we struggle to live. There's times in our life that we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how that this thing is going to end, but God does. And we can trust him in that. And the very thing that we think is the curse, the storm, God is sending to bless us. That's grace. Sometimes mom and dad won't allow God's grace to work in the lives of their children and grandchildren. Sometimes he won't allow grace to come alive. They won't let their children hit rock bottom. They won't cut and allow God to do his work in their life. They'll keep propping them up. They'll keep paying for this and doing that and everything else. Do we need to love them? Absolutely. But we need to let God have his way. And when they reach rock bottom, God promises to lift them up. And that's grace. That's what God said that he would do. See, the fish is not God's way of getting back at Jonah. No, not at all. The fish is God's way of bringing Jonah back to God. God was not saying about the fish that this is payback, Jonah, for you not doing my will. God doesn't do it that way. This was bring back to Jonah. God is saying, I'm pursuing you. I want you. And I won't let you go. See, as a child of God, we understand. And Jonah listened and he turned and he repented. And he received the blessing of God. The Bible doesn't even talk about what would have happened if he had said no, and Jonah could have. He had free will, free choice. But he said, yes, God, See, when you get rock bottom, when you go down to the very part that you can go, when you lose everything that you count is worthy, and you find out that all you got's Jesus, you find it's all you need. Amen. And when we trust him and live for him, God said, I'll bless you. And God brought him back. He did the same thing to the prodigal son. He came to himself and he called on to God and God brought him back. The Bible tells you and I that God did the same thing with King David. He murdered, he my goodness, adulterer. He planned, he schemed. But when he came back, he saw God and God lifted him out. And God will do you the same way. Again, we're like Jonah. We tend to run. We tend to want just enough of God to say that we think we're going to heaven. We want just enough of God to carry us through. And that's it. Don't bother me with nothing more. I don't want to grow too much because that'll make me come out of my comfort zone. I don't want to do that. I guarantee you Jonah was out of his comfort zone. And God wants us out of the same thing. But here's the message tonight. The repentance of Jonah. Jonah here had an idol. He was learning about repentance. See, true repentance is diagnosing, understanding, as a doctor does, the root cause of the idol that's in your life. What motivates you to make decisions? What motivates you in life that you think makes you happy? See, everybody has an idol. Look to your neighbor and say, you've got an idol. Everybody does. I guarantee you they do. I don't care who you are. You have something that motivates you, something that helps make your decisions, something that drives you, something that if you can't do, it steals your joy. And sometimes the good things in our life, which are not the best things in our life, take the place of the best things, which are God's things. And we have to be careful. Jonah had a bad part, and he calls them idols. Now, that's what the Bible calls them, is idols. Remember the first two commandments, the greatest commandments in the ten? Remember? What is commandment one? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Number two, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number three, thou shalt not make in thee any graven images. We think of graven images. We think of what God is talking about there. We're thinking of gold statues or stone statues or something like that. And God may have then meant that, and I'm sure he did. But today, he means the idols of our heart. The things that we place before God. See, that's the story here. That is what God is trying to say in our hearts, in our lives. Everybody's got something in their life that takes you away from God's perfect will in your life. You either allow it to do it or you don't. And no matter what age you are, it doesn't matter how young or how old you are, it takes us back. It motivates our decision making. It motivates who we are. It motivates everything that we've got. And Jonah had an idol. He had an idol in his heart. And I know what it is. The Bible tells us what it is. The Bible tells you and I that Jonah was running from God. He was running from God to an idol. The idol that Jonah had, and the Bible tells us about it, it tells us that he was a very patriotic man. Oh, he's a patriotic prophet. He had just prophesied that Israel was to be blessed. And of course, they were under the blessing of God at this time, greater than any other time in their lives. And Jonah's pretty happy about it, kind of a celebrity as a prophet, because he prophesied good things. And God brought good things, but it didn't last. The Bible tells us here, and it tells us about Jonah. In 1 Kings, it says that Jonah, by his prophecy, saved Israel from defeat. Now, it's God that done it, but Jonah told the story. And he kind of hit celebrity status. I mean, buddy, he was a very famous prophet, a good prophet at that time. The Bible tells us here in chapter 1, now, don't remember what verse, but he said, I am a Hebrew. I serve the living God, he said. Jonah loved his nation. He was proud of who he was. He was God's chosen people. This was God's nation that he prophesied over. And that was his idol. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, the Assyria that would come in just a few years and demolish Jerusalem. He didn't want that to happen. So he was patriotic. He wanted the political and the enemies of Israel to be destroyed. He didn't want them to prosper. And he replaced his will with the will of God because God wanted them saved. What's the idol in your life tonight? See, that's where we need to get to. The story's not about Jonah and God. It's about you and I and God. The story's here for you, for me. Jonah had this idol. It was the security of his nation, the patriotism toward his nation. And he had rather do that than follow God's will in his life. And he begs, what is our idol? What is the thing that motivates our decisions? What's the thing that comes into our life that if we can't do it, then it steals all of our joy, all of our peace? For some people, they're workaholics, and I've known them. They're in my family. They love to work, and there's nothing wrong with loving to work. But when loving to work outplays or outpositions God, it's wrong. And we need to understand that anything can become that idol. It might be that sports game, or it might be the TV. It might be something in your life that it takes the place of God and God's will and God's work in your life. Could Jonah not went to Joppa and then from Joppa to Tarshish? Sure. But God didn't tell him to do that. God said, I want you to go east, and he went west. God said, listen, I want you to go up to Nineveh. He went down and down and down and down to Joppa and Tarshish. It was easy to get a boat to Joppa. That was easy for him. But to get a boat going 600 miles down to Tarshish, there wasn't many that came during the whole year to that place at that time. But Jonah found one. When you run to God, you'll always find reason to run. You always find that the way is easy for a while, but it turns bad in the storm. When God gets tired of you running, when God gets tired of you being out of his will, the center of his will, he will send a storm. But the storm is the blessing. Understand that. That God sends the storm to lift you up, not push you down. He sends a storm not to get payback to you because you wouldn't do his will, but to bring you back that you might be able to do his will. I love the way God thinks. I can't imagine. I don't think that way. I wouldn't give you grace like that. And you wouldn't give me grace that way. But God does. Unmerited, unasked for. And God does that. But that is what Jonah was doing. He was running from God to an idol. And a lot of times we do that. We do it a lot of times to get approval for people. We want to make a good job, and we want people to see that we've got money now and we're making good money. And if it takes us out of church, it's all right, long as I can get overtime and I can make those things. Or if it gives me a higher status, a bigger house, a new car or something like that, it's okay. But it's an idol to us. See, that's the story here. Everybody has that idol. You have something that motivates. I don't care what your age is, that motivates you. Some people, they want a great name, and a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. There's nothing wrong in having a good name, but when you want the name more than you want God, it's wrong, and it's an idol. And God doesn't bless that. You're no different than Jonah. So what is your idol? Have you identified it? Because you have one or two or three. And you'll probably not get rid of it until the day you die. No, you're going to carry it. You may overcome it. It may be a family member. It may be something that is abstract, something that is real and identifiable and tangible. It's all different things, but you have an idol. And this story is about idols. Jonah had one, and it was his nation. And he chose to go against the will of God because of the love of his nation. Some would say that's okay, but God said, no, it's not, because it interfered with my will in your life. See, God has a will, a purpose in your life, and we can't get around it. Someone said this, and I've had it for a long time. I don't even know who said it, but somebody did. He said, our attachments are our temple. Our attachments are our temple. What we worship, what we give ourselves to, what we invest in. And I would say this, attachments are something very serious. What's attached to your life? In other words, what do you do when you have spare time? And I know, say it with me. Say, Rudy, you're meddling. Can you say that? Pastor, you're meddling. It's okay, I like to meddle. If you'd have testified and sung a little more, I might have not had to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. What's your attachments? What do you got on your agenda and in your life that takes you away from your God? That keeps you from His perfect will, from the perfect thing that God wants you to have. The Bible says for you and I to choose them carefully. Carefully. What you attach to your life. What takes your extra time? Everybody's got a few extra minutes of a day. You do. Where do you spend it? What do you spend doing? What do you love more than you love anything? You got to do it every week. You just got to do it. But it has nothing to do with eternity. It's what you want to do. What you choose to do. That can become an idol to you. That can become sin to you. That's what you worship. We need to choose carefully what we worship. Everybody worships something. But God said, I'm the only one that you should worship. I'm the only one that you should care. When Jonah hit bottom, he understood something. His idol, his nation was worthless. What mattered was what God said. When you and I reach bottom, when you and I get to the point that we can't do anything, go anywhere, we will call on God because we'll understand He's the only thing that can help us. He's the only entity that can lift us out. Verse 8, listen to what he said. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Their vanity, it's smoke, it's empty. When you do that, you're forsaking the mercy of God, the grace of God. What do you do? What do you do when trials hit, troubles come? You've reached the end of your rope. Can't go any farther. Who do you call on? Do you call on your attachment? I mean, you've reached the bottom. I mean, you've reached the place that you can't do anything else. That which has taken most of your free time, do you call on it to help you? Whatever that vanity is, whatever that time that you spend in your free time, most of your free time, do you call on it to help you or do you call on God? You call on God. Because all the other stuff is worthless. It's empty without God. The Bible said when you seek me first, when you seek my righteousness in your life first, I'll add all of these things to you. They're yours. But you got to seek me first. You got to put no idols before me. I'm your God. No one else is. But I tell you a lot of Christians that they have another God besides the big G, God. Because all you got to do is watch them. That's the love of their life. My goodness, it's okay to have attachments. But when they come against you and God's will in your life, they're wrong and they were wrong to Jonah. They're wrong to him. Can I take it a step further? We have a flimsy idea of what sin is. This didn't bother the prophet Jonah to go against the will of God. He thought he had a right to. It didn't bother him. He was asleep in the bottom of the ship. And the storm was tossing the ship. I don't believe he was asleep. I think he pretended to be asleep. He didn't care. If he went down, he went down. That's all right. He just wanted to do it his way. Wanted it his way. And don't you meddle with what I like to do. He had a very flimsy thing of what sin is. And because of that, he had a flimsy view of repentance. A lot of people think of repentance as just a behavioral modification. I'm going to quit doing it. God, I know it's wrong. Forgive me. And we just turn and we turn to God and we think that's repentance. When you sin, you don't sin and do a behavior different. No, when you sin, you're sinning against the love of God for you. You're casting in the very face of God the death of His Son that died for your sins. Understand? Jonah, you may have turned against God and just done your own will, thinking it was nothing, but it affected people around you. God had a purpose for you going to Nineveh. You put those sailors in danger. They would have died and almost nearly died because of you. And how many people in Nineveh, a city of millions, how many died before Jonah went to Nineveh and never had the opportunity to repent? The Bible said Nineveh repented, and that's another story, another message, but Nineveh repented all the way from the king down and from the poorest of the poor up. They even hobbled the cows and everything else. They wouldn't let the cows do anything. Man, they had repentance. They didn't count their sin as nothing. They knew they went against God. They did not just simply turn and modify their life and change their life. They understood this was the God of heaven. And He said to repent, and they repented of their sin, and it meant something. My goodness. God didn't just want him to turn from Tarshish and go to Nineveh and preach. God wanted to change his life, and he did. Now, Jonah has other problems, and so do you. You have more than one. Look to your neighbor. You only say that to your husband. Say, you've got more than one problem. We do, church. But don't let them become your God, your idol, that which turns you away from the perfect will of God in your life. No, we want to go one other place. Turn with me to verse 9 and 10, and I want to read that. Verse 9 and 10, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have bowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, this is the second time we've preached on this. I'm going to have to preach on it again if you don't get it, so get it. Say, I've got it. Can you say that? I've got it. Don't want another one. But he talks about here the salvation of the Lord. Jonah had a change in his life. Now, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. It's also found in Luke chapter 11. You can read that if you want to. And by the way, as we told you this morning, the book of Jonah, Jonah was contemporary with Amos and with Hosea. And those two books describe what God thought of Israel. He didn't think much of Israel. Israel was nothing to him because they were not serving him. They were not loving him. And though he had called them out, they had turned against him. But here, Jonah was willing to waste his life for a nation that was going to perish. Now think about that. But Jonah came to himself. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 12, and it starts with verse 40, I think, here. And in verse 40, it tells us why this story is so important. Why that this is real. But it's not about a fish and a man and a God. It's about man and God. It's about Jonah and his God. It's about you and I and our God. Now, Jesus explains here what he calls the signs of Jonah, and he interprets the truest meaning of the whole book of Jonah. Listen to what he says in verse 40. For as Jonah, or Jonas, was for his 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. You know what Jesus is saying? And I'm closing tonight. Jesus is saying that when Jonah was thrown overboard and swallowed by the fish, the Bible says here that the sailors were saved. Those in Nineveh was saved eventually when he came back and repented of his sins and agreed to do the will of God. But the Bible is saying, listen, that's just a type. That's just a foreshadow. As he was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, and by the way, that's enough for me. I believe the story. So shall I be 3 days in this belly of the earth. He was telling about himself, about what he was. As Jonah was thrown into the raging sea, and then he was taken by the fish into the depths of the earth, Jesus said, that's me. That's me. I suffered the raging anger of God for your sin. Don't make little of it. Don't let repentance simply be something that you just change your behavior and you say, I'm a Christian. You'll change here. And everything outside will be different. You'll suffer. You'll fall. You'll falter. But you are not the same anymore, and you never can be. And Jesus said, I did that for you. I suffered God's judgment of sin for you, His raging judgment for you, so that sinners, you and I, would not be consumed. The story's greater here than just Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, 3 nights. Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days, 3 nights. And notice what it says here. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. You understand that, don't you? Jonah, understand that your story is just an allegory. In that it tells of Jesus, but it's real, it happened. Just as our lives are happening right now. It was mentioned tonight about the struggle we have of living righteous and holy in this world. And many, they won't, and they hold to the fact that they're all right. And I don't think they are. Biblically, they are not. They've got idols in their life, and they don't care about them. And just as Jonah, they're prideful, arrogant against the things of God, and they're going down to their Tarshish, no matter what you say. But God differs with that. God calls us to come out of that. He said, here, something greater than Jonah is here. And Jesus said, it's me. It's me. You can argue about the fish all day long. You can argue about creation all day long. But a greater than all of that is me. We have a living Savior. A son of the living God, Thomas said. And that's what is in us. And that's what we have. And I praise God for that. I told you, and Jonah was right, salvation is of the Lord. I told you about James Barclay. Now, a lot of people have said, well, it couldn't have happened because they don't believe in the supernatural. A lot of Christians say it did happen. Newspapers across the world said it happened. That there was a man that went into a whale and was cut out. And his epitaph, I love his epitaph. Here lies James Barclay on his tombstone, a modern day Jonah. You're a modern day Jonah, you know that? And so am I. Because we are Jonah today. We have our idols, we have our things that we like to do, want to do, must do. We feel that if we don't get to do them, they've literally become idols to us. They've taken the place of God in our lives. There's people that don't have time to come to church because they got too plenty places to go. They don't have time to read the Word of an evening because they got TV and they got all of these things that they got planned, all of this, and there's nothing wrong with ball games. Don't get me, there's nothing wrong with them, but they can be deep sin, and they can take your family out of church, and I've seen it, and they can take you to hell. Understand that. That anything can become sin to us, but don't belittle the sin that it is. You need to hold it in high regard. You can do what you want to do, and you will do what you want to do. I choose to serve the Lord. I choose to make Him my King the best I know how. And when the idol gets more of me than it should, God help me to understand that You will love me and You will bring me out of that. Because I'm His child, not illegitimate. And He chastises those that are His children. So, Brother Rudy, I don't have any chastisement. If you don't, you're probably not His child. You better make sure you are. Your eternity depends on it, amen? It does. So Jonah was running from God in the first sermon. Jonah then turned and was running to God, and then Jonah was running into God. He wanted God to be his God. There's some more to this, but understand. I read something, it has nothing to do with the sermon, but I liked it. So one of our Supreme Court justices, they brought a man before him that was guilty. And this was before he was Supreme Court. He He was a high judge. But anyway, they brought a guy that he knew was guilty, but the guy got off through a technicality. And I like this, came before him, but he looked at him and he said, I know you're guilty. You know you're guilty. And though you get off today free because of this problem, he said this, and I want to read it. I love it. I wish you to remember that one day you will stand before a better and a wiser judge, and that there you will be dealt with according to justice and not according to law. You know what the guy had been caught doing and they couldn't prosecute? Is he had went into a home in Detroit, Michigan, had burglarized the home, had money in his pocket, the rings and stuff in his pocket that he stole. He was caught. He ran out the back, and there was a wall there that he used vines to crawl over, and he jumped down into the Detroit City Prison. That'd be my luck. In the Detroit City Prison. And because of a technicality, something that had nothing to do with whether he's guilty or not, he got off free. But you know, the Supreme Court justice was right. There's coming a judge, you won't get off. And thank God that our justice is not because of our works. Our righteousness is because of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm glad of that, aren't you? Because without him, I'm behind the 9-foot wall and there's no technicality going to get me out of it. I'm guilty. Church, we're guilty. We live in a time that we can shine. When it's dark, you can shine. You don't have to have much of a wattage. You can shine. I beg you to do that. Where you work, where you have, you're going to be battling. The devil, the Bible says he knows he has a short time. And he's going to be battling you, battling me. That's all right. I've got a God that's greater than he ever thought about being, don't you? Amen. Let's pray. Father, as the invitation is given, the altar is always open. We pray, Father, you deal with us right where we are. That God, you would help us to see that we do have idols. We need to identify them because we all have them. What causes us to just accept the good of God and not the best that God has for us, to halfway do things for God in the ministry that you give us, in the work that you give us, in our worship, in our praise? Help us to identify them. They may be a person. It might be a thing. But can we give those things, those people to you, God? You in turn will give them back in the right way to us. And we ask, Father, you would help us to not count sin as something trivial, something that's not important. Because God, when we do that, repentance won't be nothing. But when we sin, we hurt you, God. We're casting the death of your Son in your face. If we could, we're crucifying him over and over and over again. Help us, Father, to understand the hugeness of sin, just as Jonah did. And Lord, help us to understand that the storms of life are really, really, to a child of God, their blessing. It's what draws us to you, drives us to you. And we love you tonight. And we praise you for this day, praise you for the songs that we're singing. We worship you tonight for being our great God, our awesome God. And Father, until you come, we'll serve you. Whether you come by death or Father, come in the clouds, it doesn't matter. We will serve you, and we love you tonight. As your head is bowed and eyes are closed, can you just raise your hand up to the Lord maybe, or your heart up and say, God, I worship you tonight. I praise you tonight. You're my God. I place nothing before you, no one before you, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. May God be with you. It's only